Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
There's Bob Bertog, the president of Bertog Landscape Company in Wheeling. Bob, anything you want to say out of the gate about this haze and smog and fog?
I want to segue from the president being in Chicago talking about the economy. I'm going to give you my version of Bobonomics.
Okay.
If you have a well-maintained landscape,
yes,
it can increase the value of your home anywhere from 10 to 20%.
Vote for Bob Bertog for whatever it is he's running for. Well, I think that's true, especially if you're trying to sell your home at any given time. You might want to get the sprinkler going ahead of time, right?
Yeah, this is crazy, this weather right now. And I know before the break you said about the smoke. We've never been here before, so I have no idea how it might affect plants. Plants do, they take in bad air and put out good air, so it's kind of filtration system. But I don't know if they can take this much of it.
Well, forget about the smoke from the fire in Canada right now. Have you seen a summer like this or spring in your landscaping career where it's just so it's not been blazing hot, but it's been distressingly dry?
Right. Thankfully, we don't have the blazing hot because then we would have that flash drought, as they call it. But fortunately, the temperatures have maintained about normal. But this, to answer your question, I don't remember ever being this droughty.
Yeah, well, I mean, but if it was in the 90s, maybe we'd cook up some storms and some of us would be getting some rain, right?
Well, that's a question for scaling, but I think that's how it works. Yeah.
But we just haven't had that. And every now and then, a couple nights ago, we were lying in bed and I thought, what is that sound? Could that possibly be rain? And we did get some rain, but it wasn't, a half day long soaker, which is what I really need.
Couple tenths of an inch. Wasn't much.
I could still, we're going to have some folks over at our place in a week or so. My backyard is pretty small, so I'm thinking I'll just water the backyard and we can sit out there and have sandwiches or whatever we're going to do. How long before the brown grass turns to green grass if I'm going to try and revive it, Bob?
If you're piling on an inch a day, you'll have 3 days, you'll have green grass.
No kidding.
Yeah. It responds pretty quickly. It comes out of dormancy pretty quickly.
Yeah, I do too. Well, so then would you also say that because typically you've said twice a week, maybe an inch and a half a week, put a pie dish or something out there, you can measure it. Don't water it every day, you told us last week, but give it two.
Yeah, but you're on a rescue mission, though,
because
you're having a party.
Yes, I am. So what do you want me to do?
If you're on a rescue mission, go ahead and water every day just to get the lawn perked up, but then taper it back to a normal schedule after that.
Yeah, right. And then maybe twice a week, huh?
Yeah, that should be good.
Yeah. Why is the grass distressed, but some of the weeds aren't? What do they know that my lawn doesn't?
The weeds, especially clover, I don't know if you've noticed, clover's really bad this year. They love dry, hot weather. They just thrive. Most weeds do. Crabgrass is, if you have crabgrass, it's thriving in the dryness.
Well, is it too dry to apply some sort of weed killer? Well, because my lawn looks like it's pretty distressed as it is, I don't want to put a toxin on it.
Yes, it could very well do some damage to the good turf. So if you do have a lot of weeds, be very, just spot spray the weeds. Don't just do a blanket application over the turf, especially if it's dormant.
Okay.
If it's actively growing, it's fine. But if it's dormant, it could harm the grass more than help it.
My number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. This question to Bob Bertog says, we've got buckthorn growing and entangled with our lilac bushes. How can I get rid of the buckthorn without killing the lilacs?
Mechanical removal is the best. And as last week we talked about the mulberry, that tree that this gentleman had trouble with, and I recommended a herbicide called Tahoe. Again, I don't know if that's still on the market, but buckthorn is the same thing. It's a very invasive and very aggressive, so you need to mechanically remove it and then dab it with a herbicide so it translocates down into the roots.
I love that phrase. It's part of Bobonomics, by the way. It is mechanical removal. It's a euphemism for get your butt on the lawn, bend over, and pull those suckers out. Am I correct on that?
You are correct.
Hey, Bob, I missed hearing the conversation about grubs. What an interesting sentence. Anyway, do you water after putting down Grub-X?
Yes. You want to water it in so it gets into the thatch layer, where when the grubs get into the thatch layer and start eating on or feeding on the grass, they'll ingest the insecticide.
Please ask Mr. Bertog. I've got new arborvitae. How often should I water and how should I water? Only the roots and not the greenery?
Correct. And just put it around, again, we talked about the drip line. If they're brand new, you'll see where that drip line is. Actually, it's where the ball of the root ball is. Just put it around the root ball, again, four different sides, so to speak, like you're looking at a clock, 12, 3, 6, and 9. And then the arborvitae, maybe twice a week in this weather.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because you told us last week that the drip line is the perimeter of the branches and leaves.
Now, that's on an established tree.
Sure. Well, so mine's a year this summer old. So now I'm aiming at the drip line isn't that far from the root ball anyway, but it looks like I'm kind of missing that pile of mulch I have where the tree is sitting. So I'm actually maybe another foot or three outside of that line, in line with the perimeter of the canopy. Am I doing it right, Bob?
If it's only a year old, there's the chance that the canopy is going to be wider than the drip line. When I was talking about established trees, the drip line follows basically the size of the canopy. But on a newer tree, especially if it's only a year old, those roots, those tender roots that are taking up the water are going to be actually closer to the trunk rather than out by the drip line.
I'll have Brenda put the hose a little closer. And one last question. We'll take a break, and then your questions for Bob Bertog, 312-981-7200. This person said, only the roots, or should I water the greenery? I kind of chuckle at that because I know how tempting it is when we're watering our plants. We want to squirt the water on the green leaves. Does that ever do any good, Bob?
Only with grass. Because that's by choice. That's not by choice. You have to water the leaves of a grass blade. But no, it's not really going to do anything. The plant's not going to take it in the way, you know, like a herbicide will stick to the plant and it sucks it in through the leaves. But water is more effective at the root zone.
Yeah, I know. But it's just like, it's a plant, it's a bush, it's a tree, it's a flower, it's something, a shrub, and it would like some water on the top side, too. That's where it's living. And I thought maybe somehow this will mimic nature and a rainfall, and it'll be good. What do you think, Bob?
Well, especially a plant like a rose, you really don't want to water those at all on the top, especially during the day if it's sunny out, because it'll discolor the leaves.
Well,
you want to just good rule of thumb, just keep it toward the roots.
That's a stupid idea. I would never do that, and there's no reason to do that. That's what I was saying. Hi, John. You're on the air. What can we do for you?
Hi. I know this was asked about using Milorganite, but my question is it beneficial to put Milorganite down now while it's so dry with a little hope of some rain coming?
How about that, Bob?
It's not going to hurt anything. It does need water to activate it, and it's a very low source of nitrogen, so it's not going to burn anything out. You're fine putting it down.
And actually, you can lay it down and wait if you want, huh, Bob?
Correct.
How about that? John, does that help?
Yep, thank you.
You bet. Thanks for the question. How about you, Don? You're on WGN Radio with Bob.
Hi, Bob. My question is it too late in the season to hammer in your tree and shrub spikes?
For fertilizer?
Yeah, your fertilizer, tree, and shrub spikes.
I would confirm which one you have, because I know they have some for spring spikes and then fall spikes, but probably given the stresses of all the trees, it's not going to hurt anything putting them in there, and then just water it so it activates the fertilizer.
Okay, good luck to you on that. 847 said, my neighbor threatened to poison my cottonwood. I told her if she did, I would sue her for the $8,000 it would cost to remove the dead tree. Bob Bertog, your thoughts?
They're expensive to take down, especially the big ones.
$8,000
is reasonable.
Hey, for $8,000, maybe you get rid of a tree. Maybe that's money you want to spend. I am amazed at how expensive, when the tree guy comes to trim your branches or take it out, how expensive that is. If you have a tree that's damaged with lightning or high wind or something, and you've got to take it down, or you've got to severely cut it back, get it trimmed, that can be thousands of dollars, Bob, right?
That's correct. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's a high risk to go up in the trees to climb in them, and their workers' comp rates are very high.
This is John. You're on WGN with Bob Bertog. Hi, what can we do for you?
Hi, Bob. I've got cedar apple rust on my junipers, and I've read that you only get it from, like, apple tree spores. And the only thing I've got around here are, like, mulberry shrubs. Would mulberry cause something like that?
Usually not, but it's the spores are so fine, they can probably go miles and attach to the juniper, because the juniper is a host for the cedar apple rust. That's true.
Wow.
You got one.
Yeah,
maybe maybe a neighbor has a tree or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I've been looking around, but nobody. Unless maybe a pear. Would a pear tree be the same thing? Or it's got to be apple, huh?
Yeah, it would be apple.
Okay. All righty.
Go around the neighborhood, and if you find that tree, just cut it down.
Cut it down, right.
There you go.
Okay. Good luck to you, boy. This is the most criminal gardening and lawn landscaping show I've ever heard. I have new arborvitaes. Oh, we already answered that one. Let's pick up a phone line then. We'll go to, what is that name on line one? Is that Cindy? Cindy, you're on WGN. How can we help you?
Hi, Bob. I was wondering, I had a new weeping cherry tree put in last October. It was professionally put in, and there were little, something was eating at the leaves at the time, and it's been doing wonderfully. It's great. The only thing is I've been spraying it now with an insecticidal soap, and I noticed yesterday that some of the leaves are turning like an autumn orange color. Should I be worried about that? Is that from the soap that I've been spraying it with?
Probably not. Usually the soaps are very mild, but what you want to make sure is you're spraying the underside of the leaves too, not just the tops, because like aphids and certain bugs only feed from the bottom. So
I've been doing both. Do you think it's because it's not getting enough water?
That was going to be my next suggestion, is to check the watering.
Yeah, okay, maybe try that. Good luck to you on that. Bob, I had some of these tiny little red mites on my new tree on the underside, and I read that that's not too alarming. They're not going to kill the tree. Do you understand that to be the case?
That's true. There are mites that are both beneficial and some that are not. But more times than not, they'll control their own population.
Yeah, they've kind of gone away of late. Is it too late to fertilize plants, says 773, around the lawn, Bob?
Right now, I would just worry about keeping them watered and then fertilize in the fall when the roots are really super active.
This one says, hey, Bob, is it too late to plant boxwoods, and what species would be the hardiest?
Well, the species, that's kind of up, that's a personal preference. And no, it's not too late. Anything that's out of the ground now, you can put back in the ground. So like when you go to your the Home Depots or wherever, the garden centers, they have it usually, it's in either called a ball and burlap, where it's in a burlap wrap, or it's in a container.
Yeah.
As long as it's out of the nursery and out of the ground, you can take it to your house and put it back in the ground.
But you wouldn't be transplanting things right now, is that right?
No, not in this heat. Okay. or dryness either.
Is it too late to prune a lilac bush? It's about 8 to 10 feet tall, and I've only had one flower this year.
That window's closing quickly. So the reason that they probably only had one flower this year is he pruned it too late last year, because they set their buds pretty quick for next season.
708 says, instead of using landscape fabric, we talked about that last week, the kind of fabric you put down if you're doing some landscaping, and you said that's not just that green mesh that you see, it's a specific landscape fabric. I use newspaper or cardboard to suppress the weeds. I then pile on the mulch. It breaks down eventually after the winter. Is that okay? Do you like that strategy?
It breaks down really quickly. The landscape fabric's going to be there for years.
So, that would get you through weeks or months. You know, that way the weeds don't grow through it. But it's going to break down so much that next year you're going to have weeds. Right, Bob?
Yeah, and I would avoid cardboard because the water's not going to penetrate through cardboard, but it will go through newspaper eventually.
Okay. Who's next, Producer Pete? You say Kathy is? That's you, Kathy. You're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Yes, I've learned so much from you, I can't even tell you. Yeah. A week ago, I planted some grass, a 2-foot by 6-foot. I dug 4 inches. I put the grass seed down. I covered with soil. I covered with straw. Am I really going to get grass, or am I only supposed to do it in the spring or fall?
Spring and fall is the best time to put down seeds, because the reason being, in the summer when it's too hot, seeds have a hard time germinating when the soil temperature is above 70 degrees, which it is. But if you water the heck out of it, you might be able to keep it cool enough to germinate. But then those seedlings are going to be real tender.
Yeah, so you're going to have to really stay on that, Kathy. And if it doesn't go, try it again in the fall.
Okay, can I ask one more quick question?
Go quick.
I heard Lou Manfredini say, use a pre-emergent, and I did. What is that going to do for me next year?
Nothing. The pre-emergent is for this. The pre-emergent is for the current season. So you put the pre-emergent down in the spring to try and prevent crabgrass from coming up.
Okay. Now report back to us. I like your attitude. We wish you well, Kathy. Thank you for the call. And Bob, as always, thank you for the help. Bob is the president of Bertog Landscape Company in Wheeling. Bob, will you join us next week at this time?
I sure will, John. Have a great week.